reminder, I've been going a little long, so I'm gonna try to tone it down today. So we're not gonna try to. Sometimes I get so much that I want to get it all out there, and a preacher can lose track of time pretty quick. So y'all forgive me if I've gone over a little bit, but we've been in Genesis, and can anybody remember one thing about last week's message and where we're at actually even in Genesis?
Oh, sorry, I forgot.
22. Okay.
Well, we were in
21 last week. All right. So that kind of spoiled that, and that's okay. But I'm glad you remembered, right?
I remember.
So tell me what went on in Genesis 21, Joe. I pick on him. He's on the front row.
I remember. It was great.
He was looking.
It was about Ishmael. About Ishmael and Isaac. Yeah.
What about Ishmael and Isaac?
Go ahead, Cora.
Ishmael was mocking Isaac, and Sarah wanted Abraham to get rid of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pick Ishmael.
Pick some
dirt
out.
Now I got it.
Kick him to the curb.
Yeah.
Refresher, yes.
Yeah.
It was about the two, we learned about the...
Oh, yes.
The one descendants...
Uh-huh.
The descendants of
Mount Sinai.
Yeah, could see. That's why you didn't go too long. It's just there was too much to take in.
Flesh and spirit, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Flesh
Sarah's
and
descendants
spirit.
The descendants from Mount Sinai and the descendants of Jerusalem. Was that it? The difference?
Yeah.
No. The heaven above.
Yeah.
The heaven above. The Jerusalem above.
That's right.
Sarah. And Mount Sinai was Hagar.
So, there was a lot in 21, and there's a lot in 22, too. And I know everybody knows this story, really, that's been in any kind of faith for Christianity for a while. Because anybody know what's in 22?
it's the sacrifice of Isaac that God asked Abraham to do.
Okay. Yeah, and as what is our whole theme and throughout Genesis been with the beginning all the way up to now? There's a couple words we talked about forever and a day and all the things.
Obedience, trust.
Obedience and trust. It's our part to what?
Trust
and obey.
Yes.
Right? And it was the same thing of creation all the way up to now. And we're doing the type and shadow of what? Old and new.
And let me say one thing.
Yes.
You're missing something if all you say is trust and obey.
That's that thing.
No, but how can you trust and obey? We're missing one step before trust and obey. That's trust. What is the step before you can trust and obey?
Listen.
Thank you.
That's
how
good.
Do you know what to trust? How
That's
do you
right.
know what to believe in? How do you know what to do if you are not listening? Then you hear him, then you trust him, and then you obey him.
Very good.
Very good.
Genesis 22. I wrote this down, I read this, and I want to share it real quickly. This inscription on a cathedral clock, it read, "When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. And later as I older grew, time flew. Soon I shall find, while traveling on time gone." Let me say that last. "Soon I shall find, while traveling on time gone."
Yes.
Let's pray. Father, Lord, today we thank you already again for your visitation through your love, and Holy Spirit, we bless you for your your presence, Lord, that everyone here that's brought you into this room, God, I pray that, God, that you would show us, enlighten us through your word. God, speak to everyone's heart. Give us ears to hear today, Lord. Speak through me and in spite of me, God. And we thank you, God, that your word becomes living inside of each and every one of us because of your Son Jesus. We can pray and say thank you in his name. Amen.
Amen.
At the age of 75, Abraham enrolled in the school of faith. You know why we said that? What happened? When he was 75.
It's when he was at Isaac with Sarah.
No.
Was that
that's right. That's when it was prophesied.
Prophesied, right?
Yes,
and then what happens?
The covenant,
the promise. God speaks to him through, and he listened, as we said. And so, school of faith, this is what Wiersbe called it. And now he was over 100 years old. We talked about that last week, and how that at 100 years old, he waited 25 years for that promise. Now he had the promise of the land, but he had the promise of the son. And so 25 years later, we talked about how Sarah was what? She was basically dead in her womb. There was no logic way that she could have, physical way even, that she could have a child. Does this sound familiar? Does this sound like who? Mary, right? Because why? Because Mary was a virgin. So God, in all this, we see the type and shadow of Christ. We'll see that throughout 22 here and everything that goes on. And we can't even get into all of it, and I know I won't be able to today, but we're going to focus on the first couple of verses and stuff here. Now here's Abraham, 100 years old. And he's still having really soul-stretching, searching experiences all of a sudden. You know, we talked about now Isaac's born. And what happened? He grew up. It said he grew up. He was weaned. And what is that a metaphor for? He's 3 years old now, but yet what happens? His own brother... What does he do to him?
Mocks him.
Basically abuses him. He's 17. And now here's Isaac. He's a three-year-old baby, really, still. Learning to... Got a three-year-old. We got one, a grandson. He's just right now learning everything, to get into everything. But yet, if he had a 17-year-old brother who's mocking him, pushing him around, making fun of him, whatever... The mama going to rise up, right? So that's what happened with Sarah. She says, it's time. And God agrees with her at this point. Now, before did God agree with her? Whenever she said, go and take Hagar as your wife? No. But God allows things in her life, doesn't he? He allowed that to happen. And he also loved Abraham enough to what? He said, I'll still bless Ishmael. Because... Abraham loved his son, did he not? He still loved him. It didn't matter that it wasn't what God told him. He still loved his son. Now those songs we sung, "Oh What a Father," all these things this morning goes right along with this chapter, and I love that. That's the way the Lord works, don't you? And so we're never too old to face new challenges, fight new battles, and learn new truths. When we stop learning, we stop growing. And when we stop growing, we stop living. What does that mean? Cara, what does that mean? When we stop learning, we stop growing. When we stop growing, we stop living. Ponder on it a minute. That's okay. Anybody?
Not meaning to our life. We really don't have a meaning to our life. I mean, we're not growing. We're not.
How many? Very good. Very good. How many Christians you know, and that goes back to last week where it says, and he grew, he's growing up. Christians you know that really don't grow up. They're still on the milk. They're still babies. There's a reason why we do. God has led us to do this so that we can all grow up. We can grow up together and learn. You can't understand the principles of the Old Testament without the New, and the New with the Old. And they all come together. And that's so true in life and everything. And when we stop growing, we stop living, meaning growing within, not physically, right? It's a spiritual metaphor. So the first 40 years of life gives the text, this is good right here, Schopenhauer, he's an author, wrote this. He said, the first 40 years of life gives us the text, and the next 30 supply the commentary. For the Christian believer, the text is Habakkuk 2:4. The just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. The commentary, in other words, is being written as we listen to God and obey His directions a day at a time. Sad to say, some people understand neither the text nor the commentary in life, and their lives are ended before they have really started to live. Isn't it funny how all of a sudden, in your 30s, 20s, late 20s, 30s, you're invincible, right? I mean, you know, but man, was it hard for anybody when they got 4-0 in here? I know there's still some youngins. Was 4-0 hard?
Yep.
Dante, was it?
Not really.
Nah.
It wasn't
okay.
For me, I questioned everything.
What about anybody 50? What was the hardest age hurdle?
30.
30?
30 for me. I cried like a baby all day.
Some people say that.
My 40s, I stopped and I said, is this all there is?
Oh, I hadn't said yet. No,
is
kidding.
This all that it's going to ever be?
Yeah,
is that my life's going to be?
Mine was 40 because my mother passed away that year, and I was just like, you know, by going by the time she passed away, I'm like, I've only got 22 years left to live. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah. And it does, and it makes you start thinking about, man, life is just what?
Passing me by.
Passing me by.
Yep.
It's just passing me by, man. We start even looking at our grandchildren with some of us and not, wow, I'm old.
I was at the ball field yesterday.
My nieces and nephews and go, oh my God.
I was at the ball field yesterday, kid you not, and I'm telling you, it was like a class reunion because I was right here in Cherokee County. And you see everybody, just and all their little kids and grandkids.
Well, recognizing them is another thing because of, you know me. Oh, yeah, right.
You have any white people line, you're that right. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Jesus, help me. I know that face, sort of. Who is that? We change, don't we? We change. But yet, what we're talking about here, look at Abraham. He's over 100-something years old. All right, now it's the time Isaac's growing up. And we're going to read chapter 22 here. And we've been studying these last 2 weeks about that the birth of Isaac and the continual faithfulness of God and the promise. Now that was one of the key things too. And here in 22 we're going to see the trial of Abraham's faith. After a long settlement in communion with God and he's, you know, the promise is born and things are probably, you know, pretty cool in the tent. I don't know. You know, there's a space there. It didn't talk. The last we kind of skipped over a little bit there, but he has over in 22:1 at the end a covenant with Abimelech and that thing happened there. But he still had trouble. Yeah, Abimelech was the one that, from the past, he had to face up with him and the Philistines and all that. Anyway, and so he wanted to keep, you know, smooth relationships with him. But then here we are, 22. Let's read together. You got your Bibles. You ready?
Yes.
Now it came about after these things that God did what?
Tested
Abraham. Now the King James says tempted Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and return to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife, so that the two of them walked on together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Now I'm going to stop there, okay? I don't want to go too far. So here we see, first of all, and my first point is the trial of Abraham's faith. Now, had Abraham been tested before? What had he been tested with?
First to leave, he was supposed to leave his family and his land and go to a place that he wasn't even told where he was.
Very good. He had to first of all what? Be obedient and leave his family behind. Now, in our life, sometimes our family is what? They're the closest thing, right? Most of us in times. Not everybody. Some families are whacked out even if they're close, but some of them's even worse. You know, you might not have. But I'm sure it was hard to leave his father, leave his family, his homeland.
He brought him with him.
Yes, but he was that told, so he brought his family with him. But yet, there were still probably cousins. There were still probably other family members and stuff that he left behind. But his father died along the way, did he not? So, you know, and he didn't get to bury him, I'm sure, in his own homeland. Think about that. There's things we cleave to, right, in our life that just mean they're everything to us, right? So, but the first thing I want you to look at is this, what it says right here. After all these things, look at that in verse 1. Now it came about after all these things. What do you think all these things were? All these things, over 100 years is what it's talking about. It's over 100 years of trials, things in his life, tests, different things in his life, right? I mean, he went through so much in his life. But it says, after these things, you think, well, here's Abraham. He's probably feeling like what? Cruise control. Right? The promise is there. God's blessed him, right? And whatever. But now it says, after all these things. So that means that even though he'd gone through a lot in his past, guess what's about to happen?
More.
That's right. How many feel like that right now? You're like, oh my gosh. And everybody in here can agree. There's like, how much more can I go through in my life? How much more can I go through, you know? And we're blessed sometimes. We're like, man, this is good. The money's good. The job's good. The life of the family's good. Everything's going good, and everything. The tin ain't leaking. There's everything in your life, you know, this, the comforts of life. Abraham thought he's on cruise control, right? And then what happens? Well, first of all, look at it. It goes on and it says that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And what does he do like a good servant? Here I am, Lord. Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah. Guess what he was probably thinking?
Good. Ooh, I got another blessing coming.
Woo! Yeah. Right. I ain't heard from you in a while, Lord. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Here I am. And what does God do? Oh. Mm-hmm. All the other trials, temptation he had, all the hardships, difficulties, even the good things is going right. Now Abraham might have begun to think the storm had blown over, but after all the things he had endured and gone through, he comes to this point and rest assuredly put all the others to the bottom of the list. I'm sure he says these things that God would ask from him would be way harder than any yet. Right now, and all this time, all of a sudden, he's 100-some-odd years old. He don't know how much longer he's got to live. And here, God says, the hardest thing. What does he say? Take your son and for a sacrifice. Now God speaks a strange challenge. He commands that a command that could very well cause Abraham to rebel against God. Now I want you to look at this. Now it says in the Bible, God is no respecter of what?
Persons.
Now you think, well, Abraham, he's exalted, he's at this place in his life where he's just gonna get on through life and the promises there and everything else. Does that happen? In all reality, in all of our life, are there things that you're going to continue to go through? Amen. There's things right now in your life you're facing. Some people in here more than others. Some people might be okay right where they're at right now. They may be in that tent with no holes in it. They may be right there, the car ain't blowed up, and the kids gone crazy. Whatever it is in their life. But trust me, you can never get on cruise control with God. God will not let you get comfortable in a lot of things in your life. You may think that you're going to get comfortable and you're going to just cruise on through this thing, but it don't work that way, does it? It never works that way. You know, so we got to understand that. Now, many formal trials will not supersede nor secure us from further trials. In other words, what does that mean? You think, well, boy, I don't know, but that right there, that was a hard, I don't think I'll ever go through nothing that hard. Really? Be careful. God will show you, He will allow you. David said this in Psalms 30, he said, speaks to God, of God, and he praises Him for His deliverance from death to salvation, says, O Lord my God, I cried to you for help, and you healed me, he said. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol, and you have kept me alive that I would not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, he said, you his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Does God get angry?
Yes.
David says he does. And it also says that he was grieved about man in the beginning. We read that earlier. Weeping may last for a night,
but
a shout of joy comes in the morning. Glory to God. We say that all the time. That's where it is right there. Psalms 30. Now as for me, I said in my prosperity, I will never be moved. O Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain to stand strong. David had some mountains in his life, did he not? What was one of the things you think, one of the mountains he faced in his life? What was the first thing everybody knows about? Goliath, right? That's very good. How'd he handle that? Pretty good for a young whippersnapper, didn't he? What was another one?
That's right. He had chances to battle Saul over and over
again,
but he chose not to because he knew that that's not what God wanted him to do.
Very challenging. What else? Anybody?
I think about how he was, had the was the prophet that came to him and said he was going to be king.
Yep.
And then had to go back to shepherd. I think that's a challenge in itself.
That's right.
He was demoted, he felt like, I'm sure, didn't you? Man, over here, I'm headed to the king's house, big tent. And guess what? Now I'm back out here under a tree with it raining.
It'd probably make it seem harder.
That's a great...
Very good. Very good.
Idea. What you expect from life then tints or tinges everything that happens. You follow what I mean? If you're expecting
it to be a great
day,
and then you wake up with a headache, and all of a sudden the rest of the day just seems horrible. But you wake up and the birds are singing and you're feeling good, you expect the day to go good. It affects how you see everything else. Whatever you expect. Very good. Look here at 22:1 again, and it says he was tested. And again, the King James said tempted. Now, who was the one who initiated the trial here?
God.
Have you ever heard God won't tempt you, he won't test you? You ever heard that people say that, won't they? Well,
that's not true.
It's not true, is it? But what it does say in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, there is no temptation such as common to man, that with that temptation God is not faithful to make a way of escape or a way that we could bear it. He is faithful. God is faithful through it all. And see, that's what Abraham has to stand on right here in this whole scenario he's in his life. Now, God tempted him not to draw him to sin as Satan tempts us, but to discover his grace, how strong they were, and that they might be found to praise and honor and glory to God, and to also build Abraham and Isaac's faith. We forget about it was a faith building thing for Isaac too. Now I'm not sure how old Isaac was, right? It doesn't say. But he was old enough to carry the wood. Okay, so we know that Abraham, this is a place right here in time that he's either going to run or he's going to cut bait and go fish, as the old saying goes in the country. So he's got to choose. Now, some of us in this room today are at a place in our life we got to choose who we're going to serve, like that song we sung. And what does it say in the whole saying? Choose what?
This day
whom you going to serve.
As
for me and my house, we going to serve the Lord, it says. Now, where's that at?
Joshua.
You need that? Look it up. Joshua. Joshua is what? A type and shadow of what?
Jesus.
Isn't that funny? Here we are now, type and shadow, Isaac. So not only is it a place for Abraham and to build his faith, but Isaac also. But it's a strong test, is it not? I don't know that any test that a man could ever have to go through, it could be even this as hard as this.
And that's perfect what Ronnie's saying right there. The test that God is putting you through right now, especially if that test is with and has something to do with someone else in your life, God's not just doing this for you. We think we're star in the movie and everything's about us.
She's going to steal my sermon. She's stealing the sermon. Lord bless her.
That's good.
She's right, though. It's not always. And that's the end of my sermon, basically. That, it's not always about us. It's about Him. It's about His kingdom and about His purpose in our life.
Right.
And we got to understand that because we're selfish. We're selfish.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus, we talked about this morning, talks about loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Some of us love ourselves more than our neighbor. Can I get an amen or an
amen.
Or an oh me? I don't know, but the fact is, you've got to understand why Jesus said that. Because He knows the intent of our heart.
Yes.
You see, He knows the intent of Abraham's heart too.
Right.
He was in right standing with God.
Yes.
And now, is He tempting him like Satan? No. He's tempting him to a place where He can raise him up in a new place of faith. Come on. He's tempting him right there where He says, all right, this is a place now, but choose. Choose. And He does that for all of us every day in our life, every day in our calling in God and everything else. Why do you think the church is falling away in numbers when you start preaching on sin and you start really getting into people's business? The seats come up empty. But the fact is, we want a seeker-friendly God. We want a God that doesn't say, or we want a church that nobody's going to rock the boat. We need something that we feel comfortable in. Well, God takes us out of our comfort zone, doesn't He? He's taking Abraham out of his comfort zone right here. He's may have been on, I'm not knowing this for sure, but I believe he was on cruise control a little bit. End of my days, I'm just going to relax over here in the shade. Under them big old trees they talked about, he was there where he was. And I'm just going to cruise out of this life. I done got the promise. But God said, no, I got some more for you. Ouch. Whew. Most Christians will run right there.
That's right.
Most men and women, when they're challenged, will run from God.
Yes.
And it becomes a rebellion. It becomes a rebellious spirit in our life. That and it takes God out of control, and it places ourself back in control. It's self-righteousness. So we got to understand here, this is a time for Abraham and Isaac to both grow in faith. Can you give me somebody else real quickly in the Old Testament comes up that might have been tempted by God or allowed to be tempted?
Moses.
Moses, okay. Very good. Who else? There's one somebody always brings out it most of the time.
Noah.
Okay, there's another one.
Saul. Everybody's been
tempted.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about the misery one?
Job.
Who said it?
Yes.
Job. Don't you feel sorry for Job?
Yeah.
Why? How does it start out?
He lost everything.
Before that, why does it start out, though?
Oh, he had everything.
He had everything.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yep.
And then what happens?
Lost everything but his
company. Here comes what?
Satan.
Oh, yeah.
And okay. Satan says what?
Satan said if he didn't have everything that you had given him, he would not still have faith in you, he would still obey you.
That's Woo. Right.
Yeah. And who's he talking to?
To God.
He's talking to God. And God says what?
Take everything from
him. He says, all right, what?
You're allowed to take everything from him but his life.
Right.
What else does it say? Oh, famous words. Have you considered
my servant
Job?
Yeah, God brought him.
Woo! God himself brought him out.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
They knew.
Ratted him out.
But what, Job?
He knew
what?
He knew that Job
was on the solid rock. And his faith was on that one thing.
Right.
It wasn't to tempt him into sin. It wasn't to tempt him into failing. It was to tempt him to grow and trust in Him.
Right.
Glory be to God. I feel the Holy Ghost. And what happens in our life, we can be right there in that place, in that time. And God says, I'm going to test you. I'm going to place you in a faith right now that you're either going to choose me or you're going to choose the flesh like we talked about last week or the world. And you're going to either run or you're going to run to me. You're going to run from me or you're going to run to me.
Yes.
And here, Abraham, oh, I love this. This story is just unbelievable how much love we find in this story and faith. Strong faith is often exercised with strong trials and put upon hard services. Sometimes it's hard to serve the Lord. Let's just be honest. I'm a preacher, I'm a pastor, and I'm, you know, but yet there's times it's hard. When I'm out here weed eating and I get whacked in the face with a rock and I'm weed eating all over the place, I'm like, Lord, you kidding me? I need to be over here working and making money. I need to be doing this, and here I am. And then all of a sudden God speaks. He says, your obedience is what I'm after. He says, I don't care. I will make a way where there seemeth not to be a way in your life. When you stand in strong faith and you're going through strong trials, it's a way for God to step in and say, I got this. Let me trust me, and I got this. Now, I know none of us has had to experience this, what Abraham's going through. But then again, we don't ever know what's around the corner in our life, do we? We never know what's around the corner. And the stronger you build your faith in Him, the stronger you are, the more every trial, every temptation, everything that is common to man, and even when you think you can't make it, He said, I'll make a way.
That's right.
And seems not to be a way, guess what? I'll make a way that you can bear it. I want you to go through it so that I can build more faith in you. Now, listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 1 in his introduction, talking about having a living hope and a sure salvation. Peter said, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm an alien. scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and all those places, who are chosen too according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Now that's one introduction, isn't it? I like that where he says, may grace and peace be yours in the fullness of His measure. What is grace?
God's supernatural
power. And that is talking about, and then peace be yours in the fullness of His measure. Now, Peter had come to understand this, but did he just get off, throw the pole down and go and have this wonderful wisdom and understanding of this one thing, as it's called, Paul says, one thing, the mystery? Did he just arrive? No. Peter was what?
He went through it,
but he denied Him too. What? Three times, didn't he? So he wasn't all that, but he had got to a place. Why? Right here, and when this place, he's talking about the fullness of what? The sanctifying work of the Spirit. And he goes on, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again and to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God, the grace of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Here it is. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The proof of your faith being more precious than gold. You see, we put everything above God here in our lives most of the time. He's talking about what is it? The highest thing you can think of as far as what? In our mind, in life, most people, is what?
Money.
money, right? He's putting gold. Gold makes this place go round, doesn't it? Where it's all stored?
Federal Reserve.
Federal Reserve. It's full of it, right? Nobody can, we think it is. It may not be none there right now the way our country is. But so he's putting it out there which perishes. In other words, you may think in your life right now that there's things that's more important than God. But God says there's nothing more important than me. He wants you to come to the place, like He told Abraham, where you're faced with the most difficult time in your life and you still trust Him. You move to the next place and step in faith in Him and trust in Him. And that faith is unmovable, it says, until the end, as Peter said in your life. Can I get an amen or a hallelujah or something in here? Now, the last thing I want to bring out today is the trial itself. The trial itself. God appears to him as he's formally done, called him out by name. He didn't want him, he made it a point, didn't he? Abraham. That name which had been given him in ratification of what? The promise. The same thing, way he called him out in the promise. And again, like we shared earlier, he's probably expecting, woo, here I am, Jesus. Here I am, Lord. What you got for me? Abraham looked like a good servant, readily answered, here I am. What says the Lord? Probably he expected some renewed promise, like in Genesis 15 or 17. But God may allow you to be tempted as to see if you're still hear his voice. God may allow you to be tempted as to see if you still hear His voice. Now, hear me with all honesty. It don't matter where you're at in your life. If you fall out of church, if you fall out of reading your Bible, you get out of the fellowship, people can tell you all they want. You can watch Joyce Meyer, you can watch Joel Osteen on TV, all these things. And that's good, I'm not knocking them. But I want to tell you there's something about forsaking not the assembly together.
Come on,
there's something about somebody who can stand you in the eye and stare you in the eye through the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through them and impart something in your life.
Yes.
There's something about when God says He wants to speak to you, He'll use the prophet. He'll use the preacher.
Yes.
He'll use
Amen.
The teacher.
Yes.
The fivefold ministry still applies today as it did when He wrote that was wrote about in Matthew's.
That's right.
Now anybody that tells you you don't have to do that, you don't have to go to church, you better get away from them. You better hide. You can love them, but you don't have to listen to that. I'm telling you today, there's too many people listening to fleshly things in their life. Abraham, he knew why he knew what he knew because the Spirit of God, that's what he was led by. And he heard that voice. He was up at, he might have been on cruise control, I don't know, but yeah, he heard, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. So we can get so wrapped up in our jobs. We can get so wrapped up and finances and things of the world, racing and this, I ain't getting on the Georgia sports around here. Things that happen and our family.
That's right.
Till we place everything above the Almighty God. And if He was wanting to say, Melissa, where are you? It's like that wall of life has just separated you from God. The Bible says sin separates us from God. But we don't look at sin as the way God does. Anything that what is sin?
Anything that is not of faith.
Anything that is not of, there's that word, faith.
I've never heard
it. Anything that is not of faith can become sin in your life. Now, trusting in God is the only way out. It's the only way out for Abraham in this situation. I got to close on this, wrap this up. By this time, It's amazement what God asked of Abraham here. In short term, he said, go kill your son. Did he not? Right. Not just go kill him. Sacrificing. Oh my gosh. What is a sacrifice? Not only kill him, but burn him. I know this is some grotesque things to think about, but we need to think about it before we get to the rest of this, okay? We need to think about, in our life, what it means to be separated from God. We need to think about what sacrifice really means in our life and what it means to God, and not only God, but to others also. There's somebody's life. Oh, I hear the Holy Spirit. Right now, in your life, there's somebody God has placed specifically in your life so that you can be a witness to that person. Nobody wants to go witness. Nobody wants to go to be discipled, first of all, so that they can go and be a witness, so that they can be a witness, and the grow and the body, the kingdom grows these days. Why? It's hard. It's hard. I just don't... I can talk to anybody, but I don't want to tell them about that Jesus thing. But trust me, once you step out in faith like Abraham, we read here, he rose up. He got up. He just stepped on out in faith, didn't he? And started the journey. We have to do that in our life. Now, God may allow you to be tested to see if you're willing to surrender all to Him. Surrender all to Him. There's a song. I surrender all. You know that song? We sing it every now and then. Oh, to Jesus.
All to Jesus I surrender.
I surrender. Do we really do that? Do we really do that? Sometimes God tests us to see the intent of our heart and to see if we're really all in. As here Abraham, who was asked to put it all on the line. There was to be no reasoning. I hear this all the time. But if, what if I try to reason with God, right? We try to talk like we're talking God out of something. He tells us something, we're trying to talk Him right out of it. Well, yeah, you know, but I tell you what, I believe old Nick back there would be better at this than me. You know, I believe it. You know, Dante, he's better. Better at this part right here than me, you know. Of course, she's way more. We do that, don't we? What do? We reason, we point, we try to push our specific thing that God is trying to get us to trust Him with. It's real easy to just reason and move it to another way. Now, not only what was asked would go against everything he not only had trusted God for in the past, total reliance on God would not change his mind, and the promised covenant would still be fulfilled. There could not be any replacements for sacrifice. Now I got to close here. I'm going to pick up next week on this a little more. But we're going to look at that thy only son. Thy only son. How many sons did he have?
Two.
There's a point here. We're going to get to that next week. Good. Next week, we'll talk about it. We're going to talk about it. Thy only son. The things that are close to our heart, sometimes we hold back from God. Those things that we think is most important, don't we? Man, there's so much more good stuff in here. We're going to get into it next week. But anybody got anything, any questions, anything that they would want to talk about real? We've got a couple minutes here.
There's a lot, like you said, there's a lot in it. I mean, he already knew that a nation was supposed to come from him.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So he's not only sacrificing his son, he's sacrificing a nation. He's thinking, tell him what all he's thinking while he's doing it.
That's right. He's sacrificing his promise.
Keep this in mind, and next, I want you this week, make this part of your study, and come with some fresh stuff.
Each of disobeying God is the only time you actually obey
them. Completely and totally. There was no option. There was no halfway about this. Mm-hmm. The other times he could do half of it or do some of it. This was an all or nothing.
No passing the buck. That's where we're going to be next week. So y'all study on this. Look into it, okay? Bring it.
Let me just share one thing on that first thing where it says God tested him. The Greek word, I've taught some of you this before, the Greek word for tempted, okay, is periazo. Mm-hmm. That word means to show a person what is already inside of them. Mm-hmm. So in other words, to put you in a situation, not to make you do something that you would never normally do, but to put you in a situation to show you the bad stuff that is still in you and bring it up to the top so you have to face it.
Yeah,
God already knew it was there, but you don't until you get in that situation.
Everything that's here is a type and what? Shadow to what's to come. What was Jesus?
God's Son.
Sacrifice, what else? Unblemished
lamb.
Unblemished lamb of God.
He was a sacrifice.
He was. And God would only accept what?
Sinless sacrifice.
Innocent Isaac. Not just this whole thing is, you know, about faith of Abraham, but I want you to look at the whole scenario in this whole picture. Whew. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the reason he's Isaac is because he is the promised seed line, but he was the type and shadow of the next to come, the firstborn among many. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless everyone in this day that you have made. Lord, may they be hungry for you. God, may they, you open their eyes and ears to hear you, their eyes to see new revelation and knowledge and understanding like never before. Fill them, God, powerful with your Holy Spirit, God, that they walk according to your plan and purpose in their life. Now, God, bless everyone that sows into this ministry, those who, God, have tithed in their offering. Thank you, Lord, for our new trailer you blessed us with. We thank you, God, for Jackie, for donating that trailer that we can use it for your kingdom, God.
Yes.
We can store it with food and we can store it with the building materials and thanks to grow our little sanctuary, God, that you put on our heart to do and so many things, God. And you're just an awesome God. We love you this morning. And for everyone that sows, God bless them and their seed. God, their jobs, finances, everything in their life, their families. And God, through their obedience, I know that they're going to prosper, they're going to grow, and God, they're going to be a witness for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Anybody need any special prayer? I don't want to go too fast, but I want to get you out of here too. Any special prayer that anyone would love to have, I pray with anybody or whatever, but if so, just say I need some prayer or have any special prayer requests. All right. What a blessed bunch. We got a commercial. Can you have commercials in church? Oh, that's sacrilege.
No, I think it'd be better for one of these next.
Okay. I love it when nobody wants to leave. Maybe you want me to preach a while longer.
I
love on somebody before you leave.
I was waiting for a song that I thought we were playing.
Yeah,
we're playing.
No, it makes no sense to
do it. We got a doctor's appointment tomorrow to go and see the baby's heartbeat.
Yay.
Yeah. All right, Carter, come on up. Let's pray over the baby.